At first, I didn't think it was real. I woke up to this blinding light, and I was transported to another place. Pluto TV! Then I heard a voice.
Come with me if you want to live.
There were thousands of movies and shows, and they were all free.
The truth is ours.
It's just so beautiful.
On Pluto TV, free streaming of Terminator 2, Fringe, Arrow, The 100, and The X-Files may cause excitement, loss of sleep, and sudden belief in extraterrestrials. No credit cards or alien encounters necessary. Pluto TV. Stream now, pay never.
What you're about to listen to is a free preview of my new supporter-exclusive show called Hot Button, which is an interview series where I sit down with activists, intellectuals, journalists, celebrities, friends, and everyone in between and just hash some shit out. And then at the end, I ask them, with the press of a button, which person or policy would they eliminate? I hope it whets your interest and appetite, whets your whatever. I hope it makes you want to become a paid supporter of the Bituation Room. You can do that by going to www.patreon.com/bituationroom and signing up for as little as $5 a month. It goes a long way to making this show possible. And thank you so much in advance. Are you actually worried about some retribution?
Yeah, I think we're definitely going down that road.
Yeah, I mean, they're really good at provoking people. It's always a group of six or seven rolling together because they're afraid of community coming out and yelling at them. All a bunch of pussies. Being grabbed and taken is one thing, but where they end up, that's what needs to get shut down. I think right now the concentration and the focus should be at the detention center. Some of the bravest people out there are the women, the soccer moms.
Have you ever been contacted by a family member of an ICE agent to say, like, this is my cousin, this is my brother, or something, this is what I know?
Yeah.
Here in Southern California, we know there are a lot of black and brown ICE agents, a lot of Latinos, Asians as well. How do you make sense of that?
Nobody's more fucking racist than Mexicans. And I told her, I'm like, look, we need strong leadership. You're not pulling people together. Like, this is some crazy ass shit, because this is what's really happening. ICE is not about immigrants.
What do you do when local media is dying, but your local community is under attack? You document it in detail. My guest is LA Taco's Memo Torres, who is the host of the Daily Memo that has been tracking ICE raids in Los Angeles and beyond every single day. He's also a huge foodie and has a lot of opinions about the best tacos in Los Angeles. Welcome, Memo Torres, to the Bituation Room.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah. So you're the son of immigrants, born and raised in Los Angeles. You are third generation jardinero, from what I've read. You had a landscaping company that you sold to focus on journalism. You're a foodie. You've reviewed many taquerias throughout the city. I feel like everything that you've done, whether it's in your work or in your reporting, is really about immigrant culture, and specifically the culture of LA. So when we say, like, immigrants built this country or immigrants are the fabric of this country, what does that mean to you as an Angeleno?
I mean, that's the truth. That's my reality. I mean, growing up in, like, my family, you know, growing up as a jardinero, you know, it's like you go out I did a bunch of jobs. I've had like 20 something jobs. I've worked at taquerias. I've worked at liquor stores. I worked at different places. From my upbringing, my viewpoint is always like, this is the real LA, the immigrant, you know, the immigrants that raise it and build it and take care of it, from their houses to the streets. And then there's the LA that they think they know, which is the LA that usually, you know, the major media focuses on, which is the strip from like West Hollywood, Silver Lake to Malibu,
right,
down Wilshire and Sunset. So there's always been two LAs for me. Mm-hmm. You know, there's the people we serve, and then there's the people that actually live it and bring the culture and bring the beauty and build it. So for me, that's kind of the reason why I really love LA Taco and joined LA Taco, because it was very focused on highlighting those communities for me.
Yeah.
You know, so for me, that's my LA.
Yeah. A working LA too.
A working LA. And people that love it here and they're proud of it. Like, I mean, we would work on these projects, building these hotels or parks or hospitals, and you know, the people would be like, that I worked with, all immigrants, and you would be proud of it, like, yeah, we did that. We built that. Meanwhile, some guy, you know, white guy in a suit goes and cuts the ribbon and be like, I did this. We're like, yeah, bro, which plant or which brick did you lay, you know?
So, absolutely.
But people forget that.
I mean, and now it's like you have a white nationalist administration I mean, you've got, sadly, a, I guess he's an Angelino, Stephen Miller, national security advisor, who we know this is all his fantasy that we're just living in, trying to like de-brown and de-immigrant Los Angeles and Southern California. Something that is impossible and also not geographically accurate in the...
You'll never do it.
When the U.S. was created, how this used to be Mexico, et cetera.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no. I mean, fuck Stephen Miller. Fuck you, Stephen Miller. Yeah. I mean, this guy, he's from SAMO. He went to Santa Monica High School. He's local here. And I think I read somewhere that the reason why he hates Mexicans specifically so much is because he had a toxic Latina girlfriend at some point.
Way to blame the Latinas. You're like, this is what you do. That is, first of all, I...
That's what I read? No. First of all, I understand that girl. I would totally have like, yeah. If,
yeah.
Remember when I was Stephen Miller? Yeah, fuck this guy. He was a douche from the beginning. Have you ever seen his videos in high school?
Oh, yeah. He was like, why should we pick up our trash?
Yeah.
Stephen Miller, I know he wasn't, but he does have the energy of someone who was always bald.
I can't imagine him with hair.
Like, yeah. Like, I get it. If you were a 13-year-old bald kid, understood. I mean, but no, I think he was definitely like a demon seed and or a Latina girlfriend, you know, was a little too, was like, What the fuck is wrong with him?
Yeah.
It's like, so, I don't open doors.
Yeah. So I don't blame that Latina. I get her. I understand her. I applaud her for surviving that relationship.
The premise of a day without a Mexican, I mean, no city would grind to a more screeching halt than Los Angeles, were that true.
Yeah. I mean, seriously. I mean, I think there's like 3 million immigrants here in the city alone. About 1.5 of them can contribute or work in the city. I think about 17% of LA's budget comes from undocumented immigrants. And I mean, it's just, you can't, come on, think of LA without immigrants. What kind of a city is that?
No, a terrible one.
Yeah, it's all transplants and media moguls.
It's Palm Springs, but worse. It's just a green golf course that's brown because no one's there to water it.
Yeah, exactly. No one's there to mow it.
What's changed in this year? And also, did you think this would still be going on a year ago?
I remember the first couple of weeks of recovering the ICE raids, the main question was like, but this is over in 30 days. I heard this is going to be over in 30 days. I was like, no, it's not. It's going to be long term. It's going to be going the whole administration. So I'm not surprised it's still going. What I am surprised is how, interestingly enough, they've had to change and adapt their tactics based on either rapid response, also people's opinions. You know, they killed Renee Good and Alex Pretty, and that too was enough for the administration to pull back and fire people and make some changes.
There's been change in the last year, specifically personnel change at the DHS level. Kristi Noem gets fired, ostensibly unrelated to the ICE handling in Minneapolis.
Basically because she threw Trump under the bus, saying that Trump approved her expenditures and that $200 million ad.
It was just the ads that did it, not the fact that ICE murdered Renee Good and Alex Pretty in cold blood. But anyway, we'll take it.
That drew attention to her and drew a questioning to her. And Trump didn't care about anything else other than the fact that he got implicated in the, you know, the money scandal. She was laundering money.
Right. He's like, only I get to launder money. Hang on. Exactly. Hang on. And then, of course, Greg Bovino was out, right? Mm-hmm. The little Napoleon of DHS, ICE.
Yep.
Who liked to rappel off of apartment buildings in the middle of the night and do crazy shit like that.
Throw tear gas at kids in the street.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And at themselves, as we've seen ICE do a bang-up job at throwing tear gas at themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And now we have Mark Wayne Mullen, former senator, and also...
MMA fighter,
former senator. And then Tom Homan, who really does sound like a high school bully, got out of dental surgery. I mean, like a Ren and Stimpy character, straight up.
Yeah.
And give me your read. Are they responding to public pressure? Do you feel like they're changing tactics because of some of not just the, you know, resistance, but also the reporting on exactly these atrocities that are happening on a daily basis?
Yeah, most definitely. I mean, I mean, look, they fired Kristi Noem and Greg Bovino, and a lot of it had to do with the shooting of the two white people, right? Alex Pretty and Renee Good. There's 64 other people that have died, and nobody's paid attention to them, really. But, yeah, after that, they got fired, and you know, Mark Mullen has just literally been saying, you know, he's going for a quieter approach. Mm-hmm. Tom Holman is saying that mass deportation is still the goal. And, you know, he emphasized that you ain't seen shit, quote unquote. So they're changing strategy and strategy tactics. They're trying to keep the noise down. Mm. And I've seen instances where, like, they've gone out and they've rammed another patroller's vehicle and they, you know, they harass him and take him to the hospital and starts getting attention. Supervisors will come in and be like, let him go. Just let him go. Let the story die. Because they don't want that kind of attention. So, yeah, there's an emphasis on them trying to do the operations, increase the operations, but do them quieter so they don't get the national attention or get the viral videos. Because absolutely, they've been losing a lot of support from the GOP, their fan base.
When did you guys actually start doing the Daily Memo and tracking these ICE raids and getting, you know, the reports specifically and decided to, you know what, someone's got to do this? When did you guys start?
Yeah, so we started... First, it was the protest that started after the raid on June 6th, where they came down to the apparel company in downtown LA at the Fashion District. And then there was 9 days of protest, straight-day protests in downtown LA. That's when, you know, as we said, LAPD, CHP, every agency came out to, like, basically beat up protesters. And then,
free for all.
You know, National Guard came down to, like, protect federal buildings. The DHS were out there. It was a big old shit show. Like, and even LAPD and sheriffs were firing at each other because they didn't even know what the hell they were doing. So,
no.
Yeah, you didn't hear about that? No,
but that just seems crazy. LAPD and sheriffs just firing willy-nilly. When has that ever happened?
No, it's not like they don't like to go out there and bust heads. They're excited about it. So we were down there covering that for like 9 straight days. And then at that same time, I started getting all these reports about raids happening all over the city. And I was like, okay, well... We started reporting on each one individually, but it was so much. It was like, how do we report on every single one? And so then my team had the idea of me doing the Daily Memo. I was on vacation. I came back. They're like, Memo, we got this idea for you.
Oh, boy. That's when the worst things happen. You're away.
I'm away.
And like, first of all, they feel the impact of you being away. They're like, shit, where's Memo?
Where's Memo? We need you to do this thing called the Daily Memo. And I was like, that's cheesy as hell because my name's Memo. I get the pun.
I'm a stand-up comic. Trust me, that'd be your special. It's like, got the memo.
Yeah.
With Memo Torres.
It's a Daily Memo with Memo. Yeah. No, so I was like,
what's
I'm not
the
doing
deal
that
with these ICE agents? Anyway, we'll workshop it. So you come back and you guys start, what day did you start?
So because there was so much going on to cover, I couldn't cover everything every single day. And it took time to verify things and get information. So I decided on Juneteenth was the very first day I decided to do a recap video, which I didn't call it the Daily Memo on that day. But
you were like, I refuse.
Yeah, I refuse. And then finally it was like, okay, I'll call it the Daily Memo. And that's what and then it was born. So June 20th was the first day I think I called it a Daily Memo.
How does the Daily Memo come together every single edition?
Yeah, well, for the first 120 days, I was in it alone. But now, thanks to member support and people donations and people buying merch, I now have a staff. So I recruited this kid named Easy. I have Aisha, too. Aisha helps me do deep dives. Easy helps me keep track of the raids. And then we also have Erwin, who goes by Los Ojos, who helps me build all the information into a document. So every day, we're getting information. We're tracking videos online. We're contacting rapid response groups. And we verify information with everybody and then sending that information to Erwin. Izzy's helping me build up the context around getting the stories behind each individual raid.
And people are contacting you guys through a hotline or is it DMs or kind of all of the above?
Through DMs. But things have kind of like, you know, at first it was all over the fucking place.
Mm-hmm.
It was just all over the place. But now there's kind of some systems that have been in place. And so now there's some routines. So now a lot of information gets through the responders first, and then they feed us that information. If we get information on the side, then we feed that back to the responders, and they verify things for us.
And rapid responders, these are people who are taking time out of their week, out of their day, and they're basically tailing ICE and figuring out where they're at. Because, correct me if I'm wrong, but every morning, you know, ICE kind of deploy from the same spot. Can you just explain how that works?
Yeah, so for a long time, so there's different agencies. There's Border Patrol, there's ICE, and then there's HSI and ERO. HSI and ERO work under ICE. They're part of the arms of ICE. Border Patrol is a separate agency that was also doing raids. Border Patrol is gone, but when Border Patrol was here, they were the ones based out of Terminal Island. ICE is based out of their field offices, which are in Santa Ana, San Bernardino, Camarillo, downtown LA, and the new one in Van Nuys. So, yeah, every morning people will document the cars coming out. We call them BOLOs, be on the lookouts.
Mm.
So people document the BOLOs, the cars, the license plates, to send them out to rapid responders, and they're out in the neighborhoods early in the morning looking for the BOLOs. And then once they spot him, they start tracking him, following him, and then they start, you know, documenting the arrests or the kidnappings. And yeah, it's a whole community effort, and then they document those things, and then they share them with their other groups. We get the information fed to us. We document it on our side. We get the videos too, and I've been creating an archive as well. And so it's just really a big community effort.
I mean, it's truly a humanitarian effort. It's a journalistic effort from LA Taco. It's a humanitarian effort. It's a community effort. It is all of these things combined. And I will just say, I am a terrible rapid responder because I tried to tail an ICE agent because I found out they were in my neighborhood. I tried to tail them.
Yeah.
And you got to make some kind of ballsy turns. You got to make some moves. Yeah. Otherwise, you're going to lose them. I obey traffic laws way too seriously.
I'll tell you this. Some of the bravest people out there are the women. The soccer moms. You know, shout out Angie Vargas. Shout out Miss Fante. You guys are fucking amazing. Yeah, they have more balls than like I would be to like getting up in their faces like that.
You know, I've seen that across the country is that like women are really stepping up in their communities. Mm-hmm. Even just me and like my friend group were like, you know, we'll have like certain meetings and like, you know, figure out how to support, what to do. And then we look around and like everyone's a woman. It's like, maybe we should get some of our partners or our fucking brothers in this. ICE is using their vehicles in, I think, some of the most reckless and insane ways and doing the things that we saw happen to Renee Nicole Good, like putting their bodies in front of cars and then shooting them almost defensively rather than just getting the fuck out the way.
Yeah.
What are some of the other tactics that you've witnessed and that we should all know about? Like the kinds of things that they're doing.
Yeah, I mean, they're really good at provoking people. You know, what they want to do is provoke people. I mean, one of the things they'll do is like when they were raiding Home Depots, they would jump out and they would charge at somebody, like kind of bull charge them. And if the people ran away, they'd use that as an excuse that they were, you know, a suspect. They had reasonable suspicion. They'll go and they'll reverse into cars and then claim that those cars rear-ended them. You know, like they'll do all kinds of stupid things like that. They'll pull people over on the street and then they'll go up to them and if they don't roll down their windows, then that's an excuse for them to break the window. You know, even if it's a citizen or if it's somebody documented.
From the pattern that you've seen of this kind of behavior, do you think that this is part of the training that they're being told to do this, or do you think it's more of a do whatever you want?
Yeah, well, of course, there was a whistleblower who was one of the people that was training ICE agents who testified in front of Congress and said basically, yeah, that they cut down the hours to what was it, 47 hours of training?
Yep.
Which is the President Trump's number 47, right?
Oh, God. Did they do that on purpose? Oh, God.
Yeah. So they did that, and then they did...
And it's just watching memes. The whole thing is just...
Yeah.
Looking at different dank memes and seeing which ones make them laugh.
Like, exactly, because they're a whole meme society over there.
Yeah.
They carry their own like propaganda cameras around them to record them, to do these propaganda videos, to do AI art. But they also, they cut down they went from, and I read this whole report on how they used to, you know, when you take a test, you're supposed to pass the test, right, before they let you go on.
Sure.
There's no passing or failing. There's just completing the training now.
Right.
So you don't even have to pass this test.
That whistleblower, Ryan Schwank, said that agents were told to violate the Constitution. And then another DHS official said that cadets can, quote, barely read or write.
Mm-hmm.
As evidence, what are some of the dumber things you've seen ICE agents do?
Yeah, I've seen them run and drop their guns, drop their mags. I've seen them shoot themselves. Like in actual videos, I've seen one guy shoot at another guy and then shoot the other guy with a ricochet bullet. Yeah, it's some pretty stupid stuff.
And then, of course, the slipping on all the ice in
Minneapolis. Slipping on the ice. Running and pulling their hamstrings because they're so old and fat. Breaking a leg.
Apparently, there's a physical test.
Yeah.
Allegedly. Another thing the ICE whistleblower did say was that a lot of the people who are ICE agents and cadets are first-generation immigrants, our second-generation immigrants. And here in Southern California, we know there are a lot of black and brown ICE agents, a lot of Latinos, Asians as well. How do you make sense of that? What is your perspective? And is this just kind of a facet of Southern California politics where it's like, just because you're Latino or Asian doesn't mean you can't also be a piece of shit?